and peace. Thank you, Florence.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Belén. And I want to take this opportunity to also congratulate you and women for the organization of this conference. And also it's an honor for us to be able to be part of it, and we have supported and also to contribute to bring the voice of young people since we've been jointly organizing some of the online discussion. As you know, this anniversary of the 30 years of Beijing, it coincides with a number of other 30 years anniversaries, and I want to highlight in particular the World Conference on Human Rights that took place in Vienna in 1993, and the International Conference on Population and Development, the ICPD, that took place in Cairo in 1994, and we have been marking the 30 years almost exactly 1 year ago in the same building. So like the Beijing Platform for Action, the ICPD has gender equality and women's empowerment absolutely at its core. It establishes a foundation for advancing gender equality by reaffirming that reproductive rights and human rights, by emphasizing women's right to make decisions about their own bodies. It also calls for the full and equal participation of women in civil, in cultural, in economic and political and social life, and their access to education, to healthcare, to employment, and to resources. And it calls for work-life balance that addresses women's burden on input care and domestic work, and highlights the importance for women to live a life free of violence. Many of the topics that we have heard over these very interesting 2 days. But what we see is that sexual and reproductive health and rights is an essential component of gender equality, and it's key for making progress on the Beijing agenda. And at the center of the sexual and reproductive health and rights agenda is the bodily autonomy of women and girls. And here I'm really referring to the fundamental right to make decisions without fear, violence, or coercion regarding whether and when to have sex, with whom, whether to become pregnant, to have a family, to have access to contraception, and to be able to decide which kind of contraception they want, and to have sick and to have access to health care. As UNFPA, we have been working very closely with the countries in the region and beyond. And we can see that there has been important progress that has been achieved in the region, but there are also some important challenges, and I'll highlight just some of them. 1 in 4 women still lack the autonomy in decision, so what I was making reference to, so they lack the decision either to decide with whom to have sexual relations, to have contraception, access to health care, and so on. Adolescent birth rate has nearly halved between 2000 and 2020 in the region, but it remains very high in some countries. Contraceptive prevalence remains stagnant in the region, with 12 countries where it has actually decreased since 2015. And as we have been talking considerably about gender-based violence, it's a deep concern that it remains pervasive, and that actually in half of the country where we have data, it has the number of people that see it as justifiable to beat a woman has increased. And in those same countries, we see that this is more likely to happen amongst young population compared to older population. So that's really a red flag. And I also want to take into account that the context has become more complex. There is an increasing anxiety around demographic trends, as we see many countries in the region that have a growing birth rate that is going down. And this has been translating into policies that is restricting access to contraception, to safe abortion, to sexuality education, and so on. We also see an overall pushback against gender equality goals that is framing women's empowerment as a threat. And we see those global movement going into that direction. And of course, there is a challenge of funding for essential sexual and reproductive health that remains a challenge. So now, to conclude, I would like to highlight 5 points on the way forward. The first one, we need to look at our international commitment as a whole. We cannot work on one of them without working in the other ones. It's very closely linked. And here I'm referring as well on the Pact of the Future that was very defined very recently. We need to address gender-based violence in a comprehensive way. And here again, we are glad to be partnering with several UN agencies and to be able to work on such a complex issue. We need to work with government and the private sector to promote and expand gender-responsive families, and in particular in the workplace, so that women don't have to be in a position where they have this horrible dilemma, which is to decide whether they want a family or whether they want to have a career. And we also need to address countries, to work with countries to address demographic shift. And this has to be done based on evidence and based on human rights by helping countries to invest in human capital, that's investing in women, investing in young people, and investing in healthy agency. And of course, we have to adapt to the complexity of the digital age that, as we have been listening to as well, represent opportunities and challenges. So overall, I would say that our big challenge here is that we need a strategic approach to reaffirm the universality of women's rights. And that's what, as UNFPA, we're committed to continue to work with many of the countries who are here in the room, with private sector, civil society, to be able to support the implementation of the ICPD, of the Beijing agendas, and of course of the Pact of the Future.